Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hobbit Bites, episode 6. I am one of your hosts. I am Trey, and with me, as always, is Jake.
Boil 'em, mash 'em, stick 'em in a stew. It's me.
You know that quote is actually like, it annoys me because that's one of the most well-known quotes of Sam, and It's not in the books.
Well, it's a movie. I'm sorry. Are you a book purist?
No, I'm just, in the book he says, what's taters precious? And Sam replies, potatoes. A good ballast for the empty stomach is any, and the gaffer's delight. And in the movie, it's boil them, mash them, put them in a stew.
Dang. Well, if we ever were playing a game where we would have to know the quotes, then you would definitely win, and I would not want to compete against you.
I was born in the Lord of the Rings. Oh man, I adopted it.
All right, well, so today we're planning on going over the Sam Hero Pack reveal, and then we're also going to be going over a little game that I guess I like to call Buff It, Twist It, Nerf It. So,
buff it, twist it, nerf it.
You almost sound like the little guy.
Oh, man. Or whatever it sounds like. I don't know.
Yeah. But all right. So I guess let's hop into the episode.
All right. Let's do it.
So we got, I guess we also got, it goes to say that we also got a news article for a upcoming update to the game. In the form of a update to the way that saves work, I guess. If you have a save file that you're midway through, make sure you get that done before they go through with that.
Scheduled for November 4th.
Yeah. So I guess that'll be for that article. So let's move on to the Sam Hero Pack reveal. Let's start with Sam himself. I guess I'll take this one.
Okay.
Sam is a leadership hero. He is 10 threat, 2 attack, 1 willpower, 9 health, plus 1 attack if guard is active, and he has vanquish, minus 1 resource to Sauron, limit 1 per round, and he is a hobbit.
Nice. Well, Sam is like my favorite character, so that's going to be, I'm going to be heavily biased. You know, he could be blank and I would probably still play him just for lore reasons. Even though he's not a lore card, he's a leadership card, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, plus 1 attack if guard is active. That's really cool. So as long as you have ways to put guard on him, then he can keep attacking for 3. The only problem I see with that is that he has a wimpy 9 health. Well, it's a very hobbity 9 health. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that it's actually a fair way of giving him an innate buff, because he needs a buff in a way because he's an attacker. But then also, his vanquish would take advantage. In this case, Sauron gets to choose what attacks, so his vanquish could not trigger if it's not. So you almost, I'm not even sure how often that's going to be relevant, since Sauron doesn't often, I guess he'll suicide things sometimes, but it's not his chosen way.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. And I guess the best way to utilize both of the abilities is if you put Enduring Valor on him, and then you would have to make your first attack probably with only his 2 attack. So if you kill something that has 2 attack, I mean 2 health, you kill something that has 2 health with his 2 attack, then he'll get the vanquish ability, and then with Enduring Valor he'll activate guard and then get the buff in order to, you know, have his buff. So that might be cool, but yeah, you're right. Usually lately Sauron hasn't really been suiciding his characters into guarded allies and stuff.
Garrett. He's certainly going to stack with all the other hobbit tools we've gotten for stealing resources to make choke decks really effective, I think.
Yeah.
Between Sam and Bilbo's cloak alone, you've cut Sauron out to doing very little a turn. That's one resource.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see why they put the limit one per round. Otherwise, this could be really abused.
Oh, yeah. Without that, he would be absolutely... He's already a very strong hero, I think.
For sure.
But without that, he would be butchering Sauron, basically, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the other thing I wanted to mention, I guess, is like he has some synergy with Fatty, and in that fat, two synergies really, and that Fatty is a hobbit as well, so you get sort of those tribal buffs that you have.
Yeah.
And then and then Fatty can give him guard while he's still ready, just to give him guard as many times as possible to get that buff going.
That's pretty good, I guess. So mm-hmm. Yep, I think Sam will be pretty good. Yes, yep. You want to read?
Oh, one second. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention one other card that I think might be something to look at with him, and it's the we talked about it in the last episode. If you guys remember, in the Boromir pack, it's the what is it called? Spear of the Citadel, where you give the character, it's a weapon that gives the character counter, and it has a Vanquish gain guard ability. So it's kind of might work out, but it has a limit of the willpower value per round. So I don't know, kind of maybe something to mess with and see what works on him for giving him guard. But again, it's a little bit of a weird timing issue if you need to vanquish something to get the guard. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably still going to be talking about Sam a little bit in reference to the next card. So if you'll read.
Oh, for sure.
Build a Pony.
Okay. So Build a Pony is a unique ally. He costs 2. Or yeah, Bill is a boy. I was going to say he or she for some reason. Bill the Pony costs 2. He has
Bill.
I know, Bill.
You
know,
fellowship.
I don't know.
Bill the Pony should be asking me if Legolas is a girl.
Well,
yeah. Don't pull a Brian on
what
me.
Do your elf eyes see? I don't know. Anyway, costs 2, 1 attack, 1 willpower, 5 health, and he has the ability upkeep +1 resource. And on top of all that, he is -2 resource cost to play if Sam's in play, and he's an animal, and he's level 2 leadership.
Haven't they? Is that? I don't think that's what they've. Give me 1 minute to pull it up, but I don't think that's the trait they've been using for animals.
Oh yeah, it's like creature or something, maybe. Isn't
it? Or maybe they've changed it, or they're going to. But like, I could have.
Oh, excuse me, I'm burping over here.
Yeah.
Look at Radagast.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to pull up Radagast.
Helpful squirrel.
Yeah, I guess it is animal. Okay. I don't know. I thought for some reason it was. Actually, wait. I'm still in the opinion friendly bird should be of the eagle tribe for the sake of its synergy, but.
Maybe he should just be friendly traded. Just kidding. Okay. Well, anyway, back to Build a Pony. Essentially, he costs 2, and he gives +1 resource on upkeep, but he's free to play if you have Sam.
First of all, you include 2 if you're running Sam.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
In the story, you're running Sam. You now have a 28-card deck.
Yep. So would you ever include him if you're not running Sam?
Yes. Well, actually, let me take that back. If you're running 2 leadership in Sam.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would definitely. Because comparing him to Zigil Minor, which is the one, mm-hmm. It's like a 1 cost, 1 attack, 1 willpower, 3 health. That's level 1 for leadership, but that has to exhaust to get the resource. This costs 1 more, but has 2 additional health and gets the resource without doing anything.
Yeah, he's a baller. And yeah, he's a thick boy at 5 health. He can stay around and keep that upkeep coming for a while.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And he's like has some great synergy, obviously, with Aragorn. So if I'm running it at just, a level 2 leadership with Aragorn and no Sam, I might still put him in just because of the +1 resource. I can just activate Aragorn every single round. Free of charge, basically. Yeah. I think it might have been cooler if they said like -2 cost to play if Sam, or minus cost to play if Sam, what am I trying to say? What if he was a level 1 character when Sam is in your deck?
That might have been. I think they really do need to play around with like levels a little more. Like, what if they include where you can include a terrible card into your deck that's like whenever you draw this card, destroy it, and then you miss your draw for that turn. But in exchange, you can include a level one card from, and then call them like the songs. See where I'm.
I'm saying that would be cool,
include ways to make your. I guess that would actually make. No, it would make your deck worse. It would, but you know, include ways to make your deck worse as a whole. And then, you know, and the whole you would, it would make deck building more interesting, I think.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I think that would be great.
All right.
But yeah, I mean,
he's good.
Yeah, not much else to say. Yeah, he's great.
Gaffer Gamgee. I'll go ahead and read it, I guess. He's a spirit ally, cost of one, one attack, one willpower, two health, power. Return Gaffer Gamgee to exhaust one minion, and he is a hobbit.
So, and he's unique.
Well, yeah. He's the old gaffer. Of course, he's unique. So it's worth noting that they've actually not completely decided what his power does yet. According to the Discord, and the last thing that was said by, Gaffer, we're going back and forth on whether Gaffer goes into your hand or in your deck. Whenever he comes out, he'll have the right keyword for where he goes. So, however,
yeah, because right now they use the word recover to mean return them. Right now, with all the Rossiel spoilers, yeah,
recover she uses the word return recover. His deck, which is kind of confusing, but I guess I think that it would be very interesting if we get more effects like this where they shuffle them, you know, into your deck, because then that gives you know, you can, it gives your draw power later game to where, you know, and I definitely hope, I hope they do, because if he's just, he's already comparable to almost a, boy, the card Sudden Riposte.
I was going to say that this guy in general seems like a very lore card to me. Not only is he, does he have a like return, potentially return to hand effect or return to something effect, which is a very lore thing, but the whole exhaust minions thing, it's a little bit spirity, but it's very lore. Well,
I'm not annoyed that he's in spirit, because I think this is a fine way for spirit to handle enemies. This is far from like instead something that destroying. Annoys me about, you know, because they do have to handle enemies somewhat, but it's also, you know, and I should probably clarify, since I haven't, my prior statements on spirit getting ways to destroy enemies is almost more so annoyance that they aren't equally giving spheres tools to for their weaknesses than purely spirit. It's more so, well, they're giving, you know, spirit all these destroy a minion effects, and then they won't even give tactics the most tactics-y way to, you know, explore an objective, which is Will of Steel, which places progress on an objective equal to your attack.
Sure.
It, you know, it just, it feels unbalanced here. So that's my main, but either way, this feels fine for spirit. My only problem, my problem with it is this is a level one card, and Sudden Riposte is a level two lore card. So it should be.
Sure.
It should. And might come up later. But yeah.
No. Interesting. Well, I don't know. I don't like this card. I think that it, that there's too many obstacles to get the power to work the way you want it to. So like he, for the biggest hurdle, right, that I see is that he is only two health. And since it's a power on an ally and not an event, it's like a two-step process where you have to play this guy down, then let Sauron go. Then if he's still alive, then you can use the power to exhaust a minion that might have already acted because you have to play him first.
So my thing, you can play it the turn before, though. You can play it once Sauron's exhausted all his actions.
That's
so true. This isn't the kind of card that you're playing first thing. This is the kind of card that you, and then once you've started playing it, as long as you're playing it as like your last action, you can, if it's going to your hand, you play it every turn. And it's an automatic sudden, that word, riposte. I don't know why I can't say that. And it's an automatic level 2 event every turn. Now, if it goes into your deck, it's still really good. And I still think it might almost be better than Sudden Riposte, but it's not. And I should probably explain. Sudden Riposte is just a one cost lore event that is exhaust one enemy. And it's two lore. So it's just, this feels like it almost could be a level 2 card with the previous effects.
I get what you're saying now that you can play it at the end of the round, but I don't know. I still need to see it in practice to be like blown away by it, because I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem. Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of dancing around to get it to work right, and maybe I'm just a little more like I don't usually like to wait around, you know, and like skip turns and pass and build up and stuff. I just want to go. So maybe that's just my style of play.
I can understand that. So
yeah, I guess, so I don't know, we'll see.
So next we have, I guess I read Gaffer Gamgee, didn't I? So I guess if you would read Halfling Determination.
All right, Halfling Determination is a 2-cost event that says restore 4 health to every hobbit, and it's a lore card. And my immediate thought is, we have enough of these. Please stop.
It's lore at least. This is, you know, it's not like, but this is, if you're running hobbits, this is a strictly better Beorn's Hospitality in every sense of the word. And
yeah,
like it's
yeah,
not
and that's
even
my main
just,
problem
it's
with
not
it.
Even just like it's, well, this is a better one option or a better the other option, but you don't get the flexibility. This is just, it's better both options if you're running hobbits.
Mm-hmm.
And it could probably be 3, restore 3 to every hobbit.
Yeah, or like every hobbit hero or something. Or
yeah.
It's like too strong. It's like, might as well just get rid of, you know what? This, I'm going to make an addendum to my,
to your whole statement of Sam not having enough health.
No, I'm going to make an addendum to in the future when we discuss our buff it, nerf it, twist it, because I feel like I didn't put Bjorn's Hospitality on my list. Spoiler alert. But now after we've gotten so many of these 2-cost lore events that restore some form of health, just like Bjorn's Hospitality, and the amount of times that we've said it's just a better Bjorn's Hospitality, it just makes me feel like,
it's not that,
why do we even have it?
Bjorn's Hospitality does actually stand for something. Flexibility is worth something because you can include it in your deck, and you draw Bjorn's Hospitality. And there are some games where you need that 4 health insta heal, and there are some where you need the, you know, 1 health splash. So it is worth something to have the flex. This is just, there isn't even a flex here. There's just.
Just a hobbit flex.
This is the equivalent. It's like Bjorn's Hospitality, which you could choose between, you know, kind of a bomb of healing, which, you know, did a small AoE healing that, you know, did a small amount of healing to everything, or a single target sniper shot of healing. This is just a nuke of healing. That's what this is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only thing kind of not, I mean, it's only going to be as strong as the hobbits are, you know, that's the same thing probably with any of these tribal sort of effects. So, you know, I guess if you have a lot of Gaffer Gamgees that only have 2 health and don't even really stay in play anyway, and that don't get damaged, then this card is like, okay. You know?
I still think it's still in, if you just have the heroes, think about it like this. You were complaining about Sam not having enough health.
Yeah, guard. And then he
you
has this to help
card.
Him.
Sam has a health pool at all. He has enough health.
Yeah.
All right. I guess
yeah,
it's just
crazy. I guess Sam and Lore are already going to be a natural pairing just because he's going to be attacked a lot, and so this is almost an auto include in the Sam deck as well.
Yeah, it's a good card. That's really all there is to say. I think hobbits might work with it. I guess Taste It Again would be my turn to read. Taste It Again with 1 cost. What a weird. I'm just. That artwork. I know I'm doing this again, but like. That.
That's nasty.
I can't. Well, I was going to say, I can't tell what's spit and what's webbing. I'm going to be completely honest. And what's just hair? Because there's like some hair hanging off the same area as there's like spit flying out.
Yeah. It's hobbit hair.
Oh, no.
That's the, okay. Anyway, let's not.
All right. But on the next enemy attack, taste it again. I got sidetracked. Taste it again. One cost tactics event on the next enemy attack. First, deal damage to the attacker equal to the defender's attack. And it is a preparation. So I'm still not sure why you'd never just play shield lock or lock shields over this.
Yeah.
Because that offers draw, costs one less, and yes, it isn't the preparation part. And yes, you might take damage, but often you still might take damage off of this as well. Because this would require a guard to guarantee it goes where you want it to go. At which point you've just spent an action, so they're going to attack into it. Or unless you're playing at the start of your turn or end of your turn in preparation for the next turn, which is where preparations shine. Sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, exactly. I think that where this will shine, this is the type of card that I do like, not because I think that it's like amazing and it's gonna like really make or break a game, but I like that there's a lot there's some thinking about like who what kind of deck you're going to have and what kind of heroes you're going to include. So I can definitely and what kind of quest you're playing. It kind of feels very quest dependent to me, where if you're battling those big bosses, those trolls or whatever, those big spiders and stuff, and you have like say Gimli, who has a buffed up health bar anyway, and you know that you're still battling these big fat spiders or something because you killed all the little minions, then you can play this at the end of your turn. And then all of a sudden now Gimli's attacking for double his attack, basically. And so that's kind of how I see it. Even though you're still going to get damaged, it's like, yeah, you were going to get damaged anyway, but you can guard up with Gimli, for example, or whoever has the most attack, and then essentially do double damage and hopefully take out like a boss.
I guess. I still think on the whole, if I'm like just picking one, I'll probably end up going with lock shields most of the time.
Oh, for sure. Well, I don't know. I don't even feel like they're that comparable, honestly.
Attached as well.
Sure.
Costs one less, has draw, you know, and it ends up dealing damage to the attacker equal to the defender's attack.
Yeah. Well, this seems like it does it twice, right? So
not if you don't guard.
Right. So if you do guard.
If you do guard, yes, it would do it twice, but it's still a case of, twice, you know. This, if in this case, I just like for you to guard. All right, let me put it like this. If you guard, that means that you have most likely exhausted that character, or at least spent an action from another character to do so. In which case, you've spent that character's action, you've played a card, and the result is you've dealt twice the defender's attack to the enemy, and your defender is exhausted. All right, you play lock shields. It costs one less. You get a card. You get to select who's attacked, so it never whiffs on a weak character. And then your character is damaged the same amount as they were. And then you can attack with that character because lock shields doesn't exhaust them. And you've done the exact same thing, but you've done it with a far better card.
I see what you're saying. Well, I guess that's a good point. I guess the other sort of use case for this is that you're just basically taking out kind of a weenie enemy without getting damaged at all. So it's kind of like a pseudo Tom Took in a way, or like a
you say that, except they're like what happens whenever they attack a minstrel?
well, just don't play minstrels in your tactics deck.
But it's so good. It's so good.
Like if you're building a dwarf deck that all of your dwarves have to attack or whatever anyway, because Dane is buffing them up, then something like this is not bad because all of your allies have buffed up attack anyway. So
how often is two attack gonna kill something though?
I wonder, does this work against this definitely works against like flying enemies and stuff like that try to attack you?
Yeah, flying so maybe, probably like, yeah, and I guess this probably works against ranged as well. I get maybe. Well, I'm saying because it has to, because this doesn't say anything about guard it's not the guard keyword, and the only thing that range does is it ignores guard and counter and lets you.
Yeah, and you're not attacking, you're just dealing damage. Yes. Just like direct damage. Yeah.
So I guess maybe, but I'm let the record show that I'm iffy on the card's power. And Thank Clock Shields overshadows it really heavily right now.
Well, you know, then I guess my last argument is just why not play both, you know, .gif?
Maybe. All right.
Maybe.
So yeah. I guess that was the pack. Looks, on the whole, pack looks pretty heavily Hobbit focused and pretty heavily like them Hobbits are going to be running the show next.
Yeah. I just want to say one last thing about the last card.
Sorry.
Is that the write-up is really bad. It just says, use this level one tactics card to take control of the flow of battle for only one resource. Having the potential to reverse the tide of battle with this card will aid you greatly in your battles against the minions of Sauron.
Well, you know, you can't.
Now I know exactly what it does.
You can't blame them. They've got no community manager. They're just...
He's battling just like, some other...
They're not even talking to the community at this point. You know, they're just trying to buy time until they can finally be saved.
Yeah.
With the return of community manager Gandalf. Okay. I'm sorry, FFI. We love you.
giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
Don't use the same word three times in a row, guys. No, just kidding. Okay.
Okay. So I guess
that's good.
Now let's. So the segment today, we're going to be doing a little game called Buff It, Twist It, Nerf It. So the point of this is we each brought three cards. Well, we each brought three cards twice. Three cards that we believe need buffs and three cards that we believe need nerfs. So we're going to go through, probably, I guess, start with the three of each one and then work our way up. So,
yep.
All right. So let's start with cards that we think need nerfs. Let's do nerf. All right.
Okay, sure.
So, you want to go first, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll get the elephant in the room out of the way.
Okay.
Which is Imladris Minstrel, and you were hesitant to put it on the list because there is a nerf coming, but I think that she's so powerful that she deserves a spot in the nerf it category.
Yeah.
Because for those of you who are unaware. Her text box says, restore one health to one character every time an enemy is defeated. So there's no limit to that right now. And you can defeat 10 enemies. Well, I don't know if you'll ever defeat 10 enemies really in a round.
Well, anytime you can attack an enemy as soon as they're played to the point where it ends up feeling, you know, they did no damage. And the only thing that Sauron accomplished was healing you one.
And then potentially two if you have two minstrels out.
Yeah.
So
it feels like it makes all other healing obsolete.
Yeah. Yeah, because you see other healing options from before were really great, like the one ally that comes in and heals two just by as an arrival. Or there's like a level three card, Iorath, where she has a power to like heal three, I think. But I don't want to put any of that stuff because Imladris Minstrel is just so
good. And, you know, there's no reason to do the level two Daughter of the Nimrodel, which is just a one cost, zero attack, zero willpower, three health. Restore two health power, restore two health to a hero.
Right.
And there's just no reason to play that at all whenever there's a minstrel about. I guess that's all right. So number three on my list for needs nerfs is actually Starbroach.
Starbroach, I agree.
For those of you, it's just a one cost spirit attachment. And it's just gain stalwart and it takes up the special slot. And that's just it, but that's enough to be it. So I guess, by the way, another part we meant that we should try to do about these is recommend changes. And obviously for Minstrel, that's going to be unnecessary.
Because for Minstrel, what are they doing? Do you remember what they're talking about?
The amount
about?
Of times you can heal per turn to be equal to the Minstrel's willpower.
Okay, and her base is one.
Well, I think they're actually raising her base to two as well, so it might be a buff. This might be a horrible idea. How many times have you healed more than two in a turn?
Yeah. Maybe they should make her unique also. I don't know.
Well, just go ahead and change it to Rosie Cotton.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but Starbrooch, I would honestly just say putting it back to two cost might, because it was already, I think it would be fine at two cost. It's,
yeah.
It's just that yeah. good as a card.
Yeah, as I've said, it's one of those cards that appears in all of, in a lot of the most, I would say the most popular decks, but that's also subjective because if this is a cooperative game, or it's a solo or a cooperative game, so it's hard to know what are the most played decks. But yeah, I just get the impression that it's in the most like good stuff decks, because basically all you need is this card to ready up your heroes, and you need some weapons to buff them up, and then you're good to go. You can just kill multiple enemies in a round like easily before they even have a chance to do anything, so, or take out multiple objectives before and then just race through the whole location like easily. So
yeah it's good. So all right, you're number two or whatever.
I was going to say, well, sorry about the Starbrooch. I wonder if it might be worth it to say something like it gains stalwart, but like the second time, I don't know how they would word it, but the second time, their second activation, they have, you know, like they lose all their attack. Actually, or wait, they lose all their willpower based on what they used.
I've got a far better. What if it's gain stalwart, but the second time, or it's gain stalwart, but at the end of the round, gain one threat?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And so Spirit could probably handle that. So it wouldn't be, you know, a killer nerf. But it would give it mm-hmm. a cost, an actual cost for each use.
Yeah. Or if you can decide, like, if it was like an Aragorn-esque ability, where you can decide to gain one threat in order to ready.
Yeah, I do think they need to... So there's the currently three buttons for powers, I think. The way they have it, they have enough room for one more button at the very bottom that could be for the special attachment ability. And then if mm-hmm. they let the yeah. special attachment slot get abilities, that would be good for balance, I think.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Either way.
Yeah.
So Starbrooch, it's good. All right. What is your number two?
All right. My next nerf it would have to be Northern Survivor. And I'm not sure if this is on their list of changes, but yeah, Northern Survivor is, again, Stalwart is playing a factor here. That's his only thing on his text box is Stalwart, and he costs two, and he has one attack and two willpower, four health. He's leadership, and he's the award for completing the King of Carrion encounter. But yeah, I feel like he's just... The only reason why I feel like he should be nerfed is that he's just stands head and shoulders above a lot of the other leadership allies for his role of having the two willpower, basically having four willpower. To me, he just seems like two cost. He's just so flexible. He's just like two cost for four willpower, or for two attack, or for one attack and two willpower. It's crazy to
me. He is a good. So how would you nerf him? That's the question.
I think that I would maybe just give him one willpower, or I would make him more expensive.
Okay. I could.
So yeah.
I mean, I do think that there is I think that would be fine, but they could probably, if they do that, go ahead and give him an additional health or something. Maybe even two, because he's quote unquote understated right now, and that's made up for by the fact that he has, you know, stalwart, which is
mm-hmm.
the mother of all keywords.
I just think he really,
but probably
he sort of reminds me,
sorry,
I was just gonna say, he kind of reminds me of at the very, very beginning of the game, everybody was putting Erkenbrand in their decks because he was just amazing. He has block, and he has guard, and yeah, he's still good, but he feels more balanced now for
only
some reason,
because they've added so many other cards that feel more broken that
yeah,
he no longer feels that, like, he actually feels kind of fair now because everything else is at Erkenbrand's level, and I still throw in Erkenbrand into most leadership decks I build.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was just feeling like Northern Survivor just kind of outshines a lot of other allies for his role.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right. What about your next one?
Dwarven Peacekeeping would be my number two. It's a zero-cost tactics. Zero-cost tactics event. Yeah. Deal 2 damage to every enemy. Deal 1 damage to each of your characters. So by same, did you mean it's your level 1?
Yeah, sorry. I just meant it's on my list also. Yeah.
It is a really good clear card. Mm-hmm. It just, though, deal 1 damage is mitigated if you have by anything with block, which if you're playing tactics, you might not have healing. So you'll be trying to run block to mitigate damage taken. And at the point things have block, mm-hmm. they don't care about, you know, deal no damage. Mm-hmm. And then you're still zero cost to deal 2 damage to every enemy. It is far and above the best, you know, area of effect card in the game.
Yeah.
And to make it worse, the other area of effect cards are like actively bad. So for this one, I would probably just make it cost 1 or give it a dwarf themed downside, like, you know, costs 4, but costs 1 less for each dwarf you control.
Yeah, I think even just putting 1 cost on it wouldn't do the trick. I would think that it would need to be even more expensive than that.
How much? How much would you make it even with the deal 1 damage, which is a downside and has hurt me before?
Mm-hmm.
How much would you say is a fair cost?
Man, I don't know. I was kind of even thinking like, what if they made it like cost X, where X is the number of enemies that you want to deal 2 damage to, you know? So cost X, deal 2 damage to X enemies.
I wouldn't say it doesn't always kill everything, but like, I think costing 1 is like a no brainer. I think it could cost 2 is probably about where I'd put it.
Sure. It just feels on the level and the power level of like a 3 cost card to me.
Yeah.
Because 3 is kind of like the higher end,
I think,
of costs.
That if it had no downside, it could cost 3.
Mm-hmm.
If it had no downside, it could probably cost, no, even with no downside, I'd probably put it at 2, but I'd put it 2.5 with no downside.
Yeah, double the stats, everybody.
Yeah, but
that was a big argument before. Double all the stats, please, FFI.
Yeah, but as it is, I would probably just 2 is a fair cost for it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or make it level 2. That would help.
Yeah, because it's a very tactics card. Zero cost or even maybe 1 cost at level 2. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, because then the downside is an extra downside because tactics isn't the best at healing.
Yeah, but like I said, it doesn't even synergize that well with healing as well as it does with block, which tactics does.
Sure, yeah.
But either way, it's a...
Yeah, and they're going to get even more, yeah.
It's an overpowered card, I think. And deserving of being on this list in both the positions it's at. So I guess you said it was your number one.
That's my number one. Yeah.
All right. So I guess I'll go ahead and go to my number one, which is drumroll. Right. Okay. Again. All right. May I'll just edit one in.
Okay.
No, I won't. I'm too lazy. But
I guess I'll just Forest Snare. Oh,
it's
interesting.
An attachment. It's a lore attachment with a cost of 1. It's a special slot. And it goes on an enemy and says, exhaust 1 minion. It is not ready during upkeep. Mm-hmm. This, and it's level 1, by the way, which is important. This card is insane. You can just, because basically whatever you put it on can't do anything. It can't ready, so it doesn't get like guard. It it just, yeah. You've basically killed something by playing this card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
yeah, that's a good one.
And you've got it, just, there's a hill troll. It's not even done. Sauron has not made a move yet, and it's dead, basically. Like, this card should be level 2.
At least, yeah. Yeah, at least, because Dunedain Trap is level 3, and it says exhaust one minion through the next round and then return it to your hand, so you have to keep playing it over and over again. But noticeably worse than...
Yeah.
Than Forestner. Although the good thing about Dunedain Trap is that you can target different.
You can always target whatever's biggest. And I mean, to be fair, you'll often end up killing whatever's under the snare anyways, at which point it goes away. But it still basically has it killed at that point. So mm-hmm. you know, for your capability of just throwing things on it. And to make it worse, or better, I guess, but you know, more overpowered, Sauron will often still throw attachments onto the thing under the forest snare. Like, I do this.
Yeah.
And there's no point because he just puts like a +2 attack onto the forest snare thing and it's never going to use it. He just wasted a card.
Occasionally he's smart and does like a +1 threat on the forest snared enemy, but then you travel and
whatever attachments are in his hand onto the forest snared enemy.
Yeah. Like, he gets lucky.
He's just like, oh, hey, look, there's a minion of some kind. Take some attachments. And the minion's like, I can't do anything. And he's like, what's that? I can't hear you over the sound of these attachments. Yeah. So
that's a good one.
I honestly think it could cost 3, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to be level 1. And at 3 cost, I'd actually think it would be probably fine.
Yeah, I think so.
But
maybe like I'm always a fan of scalability, and I already mentioned one time putting X on a card, and it might be even cool to mess around with like maybe the cost of the enemy that you're trying to put it on. So what if it costs X, where X is the cost of the minion that you're trying to put
that'd
it on.
That'd be a nightmare to code, I'm just saying.
Well, that's not what I'm just here to be an armchair dev, not to code things.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But either way, I think it needs a nerf. That's my All right, so I guess let's move on to our buff list. And this one I actually do have a honorable mention of my own.
Okay. Well, should I mention my honorable mention for the nerf it?
Sure, go ahead.
I was gonna say that I think it wasn't quite as like bad enough for me to include it in an actual position, but I feel like A Good Deed is really overpowered, and I know a lot of people love that card, including myself. But it's Legolas's special card that you get for defeating 25 enemies. He gives him +1 attack, and he deals +1 damage with his upkeep. Now, the only reason why I feel like that's a problem is because it just makes Legolas like 1,000 times better. And I get that it only can go on a Legolas deck in a Legolas deck. I just feel like it's like extra strong.
I would argue that it's really not much better than Dwarven Axe.
How dare you?
Because that's just a 1 cost gain +2 attack if you're a dwarf. This, they both deal with 2 damage each turn. Legolas gets 2 damage, you know, without readying. In which case, and if you're readying, Dwarven Axe is even better than A Good Deed.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about counter, or you don't have to worry about...
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a good card. I'm simply noting range. That there is, you know...
I don't know. I was just, when I was looking at all the cards, I just noticed this one at 1 cost. Maybe it's just my...
It could probably cost 3, I'll be honest. I think, honestly, Dwarven Axe could use with a, you know... But...
You know, I was looking at a lot of these attachments, and a lot of things that I didn't include on my list were because I felt like they were more of a just bump up the stat or just bump down a stat here or there. And those are kind of like more of like a twist it card to me. So maybe A Good Deed is more like twist it, make it a little more expensive. And I have a couple other cards like that where I was just feeling like they don't really deserve a spot. I just feel like they could be modified slightly and be a little bit more playable.
So my...
case, a little bit less playable. Anyway, go ahead.
My honorable mention for buffing cards was mostly just because this card should never have been included in the core set or near it. And that card is Ride to Ruin.
Ride to Ruin. Remind me of what that does.
It's a spirit event, cost of 2, and it says discard one Rohan ally to apply 4 progress to an objective. And do you know the worst part of it? Spirit has no Rohan allies at all right now. You have to go out of sphere, and there's nothing that's like, they all cost too much to want to discard, or it's just, this is like, they should have added this way later into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But and right now, I could see later on, maybe it'll get some use once we get some actual, you know, Rohan cards worth discarding. And I'm pretty sure it also, I think it's discard from play, not hand.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, if it was discard from hand, it might even be okay.
But yeah, that's a weird one.
Still,
I don't remember what it did.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I just said I didn't even remember what it did.
Yeah, but it's my main gripe, though, like I said, is this isn't a core set card because there's no, if you're going to include it in the core set, include a minimum of 1 spirit ally that you can actually play with it instead of your 0 spirit allies that even after this time Rohan has.
Yeah. Well, it's a fellowship card, so just don't buy it.
Yeah, but still, it's the kind of thing that I think could have waited. And good, you know, something else could have taken its place.
Yeah, that's a good mention.
All right. So, is there any honorable mentions you have for your needing buff, your buffet list?
No, not really. I just had like some more Twisteds, but you know, that like that I feel like should not necessarily be buffed, but just be different. So I'll just kind of save that for later if we want to talk about that.
Well, then I guess.
All right.
I'm trying to remember who. I guess you went first with the need nerfs, so I'll.
Okay, go for it.
My number 3 was the prior mentioned sudden repost or whatever repost. Just because it was a good card at one point, but now there's been so many substitutes that are better and not level 2. That it's just, you know. It's lost all usefulness almost.
Yeah.
There's so many exhaust. And now the one benefit to this card right now is it works on all enemies. So you can do it to bosses. But even then.
Yeah, that's great.
They're like some things you'd think of as bosses, I don't think actually are right now. Like I said, I think Hill Troll isn't a boss. It could be.
They need to have the little wings on their frame.
Maybe it is, but. It's still the kind of thing where there's so many better ones almost right now.
Yeah, the only time I play Sudden Repost is when I'm doing a mono lore, which I have done, and I mentioned that.
Yeah, but
I enjoy mono even lore. Then, that's just because I don't have any other cards to really choose from.
Directly, you know, comparable to Forest Snare, which almost overshadows it. In a depressing way of it being, you know, level 1 versus level 2. The fact that they're comparable cards almost and a level apart is depressing. But
I think a big problem is that before they released campaign 2 and a lot of the cards that came with it and a lot of these level 3 cards, all of the level 3 cards, they were buffing a lot of cards because they weren't being played, so they were changing the costs around. They made like a lot of cards cheaper, the Brooch and Unexpected Courage and what's the one we're talking about right now,
Snare.
the snare. They like lowered the cost on a lot of these cards because they weren't seeing as much play. But then they started to they released campaign 2 and it had a lot of cards that are now being overshadowed by that buff that they did early, and so they just need to kind of like go back and reverse that and reassess that, I think.
Yeah, so but it's the kind of thing, honestly, if I were to so there are 2 ways in which I'm, one, it's level 2, so at the point they're showing how much they value this, I might make it exhaust 2 enemies as a, you know, and it maybe even at that point you can make it cost 2 But, you know, it would still, then it would still have a niche, and, you know, it's a level two, but it does a lot more than snare. You know, in the moment, this is gonna, this is like the enemy. They're not doing anything at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it needs a buff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess, what's your number three?
I was having like kind of a hard time deciding, and I'm still not 100% like happy with my list. But I'll just go ahead and say what I put for number three, even though I feel like now it's a little bit more of like a twisted situation where I just want it to be just slightly cheaper. And that's Shot from the Sky, which is a tactics event that costs two. And it says deal one damage to every enemy with flying active and then exhaust each. I think it has the potential to be really cool, but it's just so niche and situational that I wish it were cheaper.
I considered it, but I actually think it's fine as is, because we need some cards that are bad, but campaign, you know, like there are some campaigns.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, let's say you're doing a thing where you're going through a whole campaign instead of a scenario or something. And you know, if you know that, then if you're doing a draft mode or something, then the cards like that could be made get more useful. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's comparable with that card, Get the Orcs, which is a three cost deal two damage to every orc, because it's like targets a specific type of enemy. I just think that both of them are a little bit too expensive when we have other cards that are like zero or one cost that do a bunch of damage to whatever enemy. So, you know?
Fun fact about Get the Orc, it's my number two.
Okay. What's your number two?
Get the Orcs. But so I guess my reason for that is just look at Get the Orcs versus dwarven peacekeeping.
Yeah, exactly.
This costs three and only deals damage to orcs. Now, honestly, I think if it could, like I said, I think just dealing two damage is probably worth around two cost or something, like a little more than two cost.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have orc attached, this could cost one, in my opinion. Because if, you know, it's not, you know, a lot of orcs are pretty big anyways. They tend to be the biggest enemies I think we have.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just doing nothing, a whole lot of nothing. Mm-hmm. And Shot from the Sky, the main point of that one is honestly not the deal one damage, but rather the exhaust them.
Yeah, bring them all down, I guess.
Yeah, it's a way all of the dealing, flying creatures. It's a way of dealing with flying without having ranged, which is, you know, it's a good thing. And I guess I could see including it sometimes. In this case, though, Get the Orcs, I'm never putting this thing in my deck, especially not while like Dwarven Peacekeeping exists. There could be a quest that's all orcs, and I would still probably not include this card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If it were one, then yeah, maybe. Maybe you would play both.
Yeah. If it were one, I think you play both. But I definitely don't think it's, I think it could cost one. That's definitely my opinion on it. Or maybe you could just up the damage, might be a better way of doing it. Maybe three cost, but it's deal, you know, four damage to every orc, let's say. That'd be big, yes, but you're only killing orcs. And most of the time, I don't think there's a quest that's only orcs. Most of them, if they have orcs, they have wargs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up, I think if it cost three but dealt four damage to every orc, that would be a fine card, because that takes up your whole turn. You know, and it's circumstantial. Yeah,
or similar to the Shot from the Sky, if it exhausted the orcs, that'd be cool, because so a lot of the orcs have like guard activated and stuff like that. You can
and
try
if
to
it
get rid
exhausted
of.
Orcs, you know, three cost for two damage and exhausting the orcs would probably be fine. But since it doesn't, I'm just gonna have to say I think it could be significantly better. And all right, so what's your number two?
All right, this might come as a surprise to some people that enjoy this card, but my number two is Spike Trap.
that's my number one.
That's your number one. Okay. So yeah, Spike Trap. I just feel like it's just underwhelming. Super underwhelming.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read it because nobody's played this card in, you know, ever. Spike Trap.
Really? I've seen some YouTubers play it. Anyway, go ahead.
Spike Trap. It's an attachment with a cost of one, and it's another one that goes on in minions. It says, upkeep, deal one damage to this enemy, minion only.
Mm-hmm.
It costs one, considering it, you know, it's just so slow. So it's going to take you, like 6 turns to kill an enemy.
Yeah. And like you kill them sometimes. There are times when I put a spike trap on an enemy and then I almost feel bad to kill it the normal way because I wasted my resource and my card to like put a spike trap on that enemy.
Including this card in your deck is a waste of a resource and a card.
Yeah. So how would you make it better?
So I would probably, there's a few things you could do. First of all, you could up the amount of damage it deals at the upkeep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, no matter what, I think I'd probably lower it to 0 cost. Well, you know, or you could give it something like, you know, upkeep, deal one damage to this enemy, gains one damage each time.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know what, I might even just play it. Sorry to cut you off there, because mm-hmm. you're gonna finish your argument. I was gonna say I might just include it if it just said gain surge, like if you get to just play this card down and then have a surge action to just do something else too, that might be cool, because then it would just be like you're just throwing down some traps real quick.
Honestly,
and surging back
that'd
up.
Be good, but or that'd be I would still I think I would only do that if it costs 0. Because I think mm-hmm. running this card in your deck is almost enough of a downside. Like, and I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying, like, you have to spend a card from your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, so if it cost one and didn't surge, but, you know, it incremented in damage each turn is what I was kind of getting at, which is something they could do in, you know, a digital card game that they might have more trouble with in a tabletop. So, you know, first turn you play, it deals one damage in that upkeep. Second turn, it deals 2 damage. Next, 3 damage. Then you actually start getting to a point where if there's an enemy that Lore's having trouble dealing with, their method of dealing with it could be, you know, that's a lot of hit points. Here's a spike trap. Mm-hmm. And then it would actually also have a good use in, like, multiplayer. All right, how much would you pay for, like, you know, a incrementing damage spike trap? You know, especially somewhere like multiplayer where you've got some things with, like, you know, I know this can't go on bosses, but you've got some non-bosses with like 14 health or something. Mm-hmm. How much would you pay for this?
I mean, it would go up significantly. I think it would, because if you're talking about something that just endlessly goes up and up and up and up, mm-hmm. that sounds pretty powerful.
I'm saying
to
each
me,
turn so. It gains one damage. So it starts slow,
right,
and it's not worth playing on small enemies, but larger enemies, you know, it'll, like, even something with 6 health, it'll kill in 3 upkeeps.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be good enough that it would.
I think that'd be great.
That would actually be a card that I think would be fair.
Yeah, it might be more balanced if they did it the opposite. So, like, if, you know, like, I've been playing a lot of Slay the Spire, and they have, like, keywords like weakened or strengthened and stuff like that, where you get a number, and almost every single effect in Slay the Spire, not every single one, but a lot of effects in Slay the Spire are kind of like opposite of what you're talking about, where it starts at a number and then every turn it gets reduced by one.
Hmm.
And so something like that might be cool too. That way they can kind of balance the power level a little bit more, where they can start it at 3 and then 2-1, and then it's guaranteed to only do 3-6, you know?
I think maybe even raising the cost to 2 maybe, but making it incrementing damage to give Lore, because this would give Lore a Lore-ish way to deal with enemies. It's not an insta-kill. And, you know, it kills the enemy eventually by, you know, stalling it, which feels like a very Lore-ish way to do it. But I think by making it so that the damage can become substantial would make this a good card. That's my.
Yeah. Do you think that that if it wasn't minion only, that it would be playable or
no.
too good to just slap it onto a boss?
Are you talking about with the incrementing or as is?
Just as is.
No, definitely not. Because the main issue is it's not going to deal enough damage compared to how much damage even lore can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I guess that's about it for Spike Trap.
Yeah.
All right. What was your number one two buff card? Buff it.
My number one, and this is, I was kind of going back and forth on my number one. They were kind of tied. So is that cheating if I say two?
Go ahead.
I'll just say one, I guess. Okay. I was going to mention Ranger Bow, which just gives ranged. It's just one cost, gives ranged. And a good point, which is just zero cost, gives counter. Now, I know a lot of people are probably just thinking, yeah, those are fine. Like, nothing wrong with those. But I just don't like abilities that just straight up give you an ability. Like, they just say, here, it's zero cost. Here, gain, get, here's some counter. Here's ranged. Like, I never consider them for my decks ever.
Well, then I think, and I feel I like think I you're actually kind of losing out there.
Oh, you think
so? Yeah, the big thing about a good point is it's the closest a leadership card can be. It's the leadership twist on Warrior Sword. In that it works with guard and gives you plus one attack while guarding, basically. But it also even works while you aren't guarding.
Well, there's Ranger's Blade, right? That gives you an attack
as well.
Yeah, but
that costs one.
So I guess that would be in contention too.
That costs one, whereas and this can be thrown on an ally as well. I'm going to come to the defense of this card here. I don't think it's bad.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I just don't like any of these cards that are like, one, get plus one attack. One cost, gain range. One, zero cost, gain counter. Like, maybe I'm just blinded by the just how vanilla they are.
I mean,
you know?
I think that there is a place for them. The main thing about them is they fit a lot better, and they will once we get more ways to generate value. I think where things like once they start exploring the whole space that exists in a digital card game where you can just generate cards from nowhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like what if, or even, you know, what if there's a card that's an event that says, you know, equip all your allies with a good point. You know?
Yeah, that would be cool. But then I wouldn't have to include it in my deck, would I?
No, you wouldn't. But my whole point, you know, it would still be useful that the card was in the pool.
Sure. I don't know. I just feel like instead of giving it like a straight buff, I just would like more of an incentive to play them. Well, something a little more exciting or thematic. Even.
I guess I think that.
So it needs to be buffed thematically.
I think that buffs are. it is kind of thematic. It's a spear. They're a defensive weapon.
Well, also thinking about Ranger Bow, which is one that I have in my brain as just boring.
Yeah, Ranger Bow, I have to admit, you know, I don't put into decks. But I also, it's been very clear to me that I'm apparently undervaluing the ranged keyword.
Sure. But I like take for example Web Cutter. I think that's a really cool card, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's one cost. You get ambush, which is like okay, whatever. But you get plus one attack versus spider units, which is a nice way to make it unique.
Yeah, I guess so. It's certainly a card. I don't know. I'm actually not fond of I, but I think Web Cutter is about the same, honestly. But I. I don't think everything has to give attack.
No, so. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm just underwhelmed by that. I guess a good point is you're right. It's zero cost, which makes it like not, you know, it doesn't feel bad to play it. It's like, okay, zero cost. That feels nice. And counter is counter. Maybe I just don't have
like
enough
I said,
experience
it's,
with counter.
It's leadership
to really
warrior
value
sword.
It.
That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, but then I mean the leadership warrior sword is Ranger's whatever Ranger sword. Right?
Yeah, but even that one costs one. My point is this is the leadership. This is closer to warrior sword, I would argue, in that it caught, they're both zero cost attachments that you honestly, you don't, neither one you should really be putting on your hero. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I don't think Warrior Sword needs a buff or a nerf or anything. I just don't like it.
I think personally, I think a good point, I believe. Yeah. It's good on Erkenbrand is a good example of someone who likes it.
That's true. Well, just because he already has all the other keywords.
So well, yeah, but you know, since you're already going to be guarding twice with him generally, and this is just basically plus one attack when guarding, you know, it's,
yeah,
I like it. I recognize not everyone's going to. It's probably good that they don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So yeah, so kind of cheating on my part that I chose sort of like a category of cards in a way. But yeah, those are my buff it or possibly just give it a thematic buff. Yeah, that's my argument.
All right. Well, I guess that'll be it for tonight. With that being said, you can contact us in a lot of ways. We have an email address at hobbitbytes@gmail.com. We have a Discord, which so I realized last time you don't even have to message us for, because I include the Discord link in the RSS feed description, the episode description. And then we have, I guess, is that it? I guess, or yeah, that should be it. So as far as ways to contact us, feel free to join the Discord or whatever. And or send us any questions or comments you have about the show through the email. And I guess that'll be it, I think. Announcement. Right. Sorry. We've decided we're going to be moving to more bi-weekly format, mm-hmm. unless we're able to just randomly do one 2 weeks in a row. But I think on the whole, it's going to be bi-weekly from here on out, which is sad, but I think it's become a necessity.
Yeah.
So that's sad, but you know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if life gets less hectic, not likely, or if FFI starts pumping out something every week, then we might have to keep up with them.
Yeah.
But otherwise they're kind of bi-weekly, and they're important news updates or car spoilers and stuff like that anyway. So yeah.
All right. Well, goodbye everyone.
Bye.